Praise God. Believe in God for a miracle. And this upcoming week, saints, is what? Vacation Bible School. Wow, you all are a little bit better than first service, or maybe the first service people are still here. And what is our theme for Vacation Bible School? Oh, y'all looking sick too. Our theme for Vacation Bible School is what? Believe in. Yep, it's the same as my title. Believe in God for a miracle. So this upcoming week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we will begin our Vacation Bible School series. We will have classes for all ages. And we are inviting everyone to come out. And then on Thursday, we will have a final Vacation Bible School revival, youth revival, and we will worship outside the complete service. Amen. So we're inviting everyone out. And this today is kind of my kickoff to get us ready for Vacation Bible School, okay? So we're going to be talking about miracles today, but before we go on, let us take a moment to pray. Creator God, you are so awesome and amazing, Lord. And we would just pray your blessing upon this message, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, dear Jesus, Lord. And may you open all of our eyes, open all of our ears, and most of all, open all of our hearts to what you have for us this day. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray, and all your people said, amen. Praise God, saints. Many of you may or may not know, I'm not sure, I know some of you know, that I serve as a spiritual care coordinator at the Hospice of the Western Reserve here in Cleveland. And one of the most difficult times for me as a spiritual care coordinator is to sit at the bedside of someone who is dying. What I find to be the most challenging for me is that many times I'm often praying, Lord, please provide a miracle for this family. You know, I've sat at the bedside with little tiny babies, 8 months old, and I've gone all the way to the other end of the spectrum to sit beside someone who is 102 years old. But for the most times, I'm sitting with people who are 50, 60, 70 years old. And they have a variety of circumstances and issues. But most of the time, I'm sitting there praying, please, Lord Jesus, provide them a miracle. Especially since many of the saints, I mean, many of you here are in your 40s, 50s, right? So, you know, you can imagine that if you were told today that you had, a couple weeks left, you don't want to hear that news, amen? And so most of the time, I am sitting with a 50 or 60-year-old, and I am praying really diligently, God, please provide a miracle. Especially, it's so funny when I go into some rooms and the person is 50 or 60 years old, and they say, you're the same age as my daughter. You're the same age as my son. And so I can imagine, you know, my mom is almost 60, and I'm like, I do not ever want to have to do this myself. I know that day might be coming, but the closer I get to it, it's scary to me. So we pray for miracles, saints. Many of us have sat with loved ones here at Glenville. We sit holding each other's hands, praying for a miracle. Because many of us have been in a variety of situations, saints, praying for a miracle. Has anybody been praying for a miracle lately? Been praying for a job, been praying for financial blessings, been praying for health, been praying for marriages, families, kids, all these things we've been praying for. And sometimes we wonder, Lord, where is our miracle? You know, saints, I was reading this story on the internet about a little girl. And this little girl was outside playing in her backyard, just like little kids do. And the little girl had gotten bitten. And it was a little bite, so she didn't think much of it. You know how kids are. They don't want to stop playing. So she didn't go in the house and say anything. So lo and behold, she went a few days. She didn't say anything. She began to get sick and sick. And it turned out she had been bitten by an animal that had rabies. Now, saints, I don't know very much about rabies. But apparently it's some kind of timeline that you have to get treatment immediately or rabies is fatal. You can die, you know, from your first bite. That's it. So this little girl had gotten bitten, but a few days had went by. And then once her parents had finally figured out what it was that was causing her to be sick, it was too late for her to receive any treatment. So what her parents decided to do, they didn't know what to do, but what they decided to do was they decided to start a prayer chain. So they got on the internet and they put the prayer request out. They called their friends. They sent out letters, please pray for our daughter. And so it turns out, saints, that they made enough connections that 1 million people began to pray for this little girl. And after a few days, this little girl experienced a healing and she was fully recovered. Now, saints, I didn't get to investigate this article, but apparently this article made the claim that this is the first and only child that has ever survived rabies without any treatment. And so, saints, the doctors and the nurses, the family all surrounding her, hailed this as a miracle. And we all hear miracle stories, right? We've heard the story about the mom whose child gets stuck under the car, and for some unknown reason, the miracle happens, and she can lift the car and get her kid out from underneath it. We've heard many stories like that, right? We've heard the stories of in the Bible, the miracles in the Bible, the parting of the Red Sea, or the Reed Sea, however you like to say it. We've listened to the story about the walls of Jericho falling down just by people walking around it and playing their trumpets and instruments. We all know the story of the virgin birth and the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 read today in our scripture reading. So all these miracles have taken place, miracles in the Bible, miracles in real time, real place. And I know many of us sit here and wonder, Lord, where's my miracle? Where's my miracle? Am I the only one who's ever asked that question before? You all sitting out there, you have asked, where's your miracle? Or maybe you've asked, where's my neighbor's miracle that I've been praying for my next door neighbor? I've been praying for my brother and my sister. Where is their miracle? Saints, it can be especially difficult to listen to other people talk about their miracles and their blessings, especially when we come to church and we hear, oh, such and such received her prayer request and such got her prayer answered. And we're standing there thinking, well, Lord, where's my miracle? I prayed just as hard as they did. So what does it mean, saints? What does it mean when we're asking and looking for our miracle, but that miracle doesn't seem to be coming? Well, saints, we're going to be finding that out today. And we're going to begin by looking at Uriah. Now, many of you might not be familiar with Uriah, but Uriah is in the story of David and Bathsheba. Now, David and Bathsheba, we all know pretty well. David slept with Bathsheba. Bathsheba got pregnant. Then they tried to kill who? Uriah, who is her husband. So David gets Bathsheba pregnant. Now, saints, I have just enjoyed preparing for this message so much because the scripture is, it just opens up more and more. The more you read it, the more it opens up to you. Amen. And so when I read scripture, I often kind of put myself in like I'm watching a movie or something. I like to make it exciting, saints. We all sit around saying, oh, the Bible's so boring, it's so boring. But it's really not boring if you make it exciting. So this is how I was reading the story of Uriah. I'm pretending that I'm watching TV, a TV made for TV movie here. And when I watch TV, if you're anything like me, I talk to the TV. I tell the characters, don't run that way. Watch out. What's wrong with you, girl? It's always a girl. She's going to fall. You know she's going to fall. So I talk to the TV. So we're going to watch Uriah's story on TV, okay? You're going to work with me through this imagination of mine. So here we have Uriah. Uriah, we see on television, he's this hard worker. He's so loyal. He's so faithful. He's a good husband. He's a soldier. He's serving his country well. He's serving his boss well. He's doing everything the right way. But you see, Uriah doesn't know back at home, David and Bathsheba are doing something wrong. So Uriah just keeps doing things faithfully. So David sends for Uriah. Come on home, Uriah. Come on home. First thing we say, we're watching TV. Oh, no, Uriah, don't go home. This is not a good move, Uriah. Don't go in that direction. But you know how they do on TV. They go anyway. So Uriah went home. David says, oh, you've been doing a great job. You've been working so hard. Why don't you go home and spend some time with your wife? We think, oh, no, Uriah, that's not a good move. Uriah, don't go home. So it's like Uriah must have heard our voice. Uriah says, oh, I'm so tired. And he sleeps right there in the castle. And so Uriah wakes up the next day, and David says, well, Uriah, why didn't you go home? Uriah says, well, you know what? All of the soldiers are out working. How can I be at home relaxing with my wife when everybody else is doing all the work? So David says, well, come on, why don't you have this drink? Why don't you have a little drink with me? Y'all know, we're thinking, oh, don't take the drink, Uriah. Don't drink the drink. You know when you get drunk, you ain't going to be able to handle things. You're going to end up getting killed. So Uriah, he drinks the drink, of course. But Uriah didn't go home. He got tired again. He went to sleep again. So we're thinking, whew, Uriah been spared two times. Two times he's been spared. So Uriah gets up the next day. Now David got a trick to spin. David sees Uriah's not going home. So he tells Uriah, okay, Uriah, you go on head back to work. But then he tells other co-worker, he gives him the note and says, here, you follow him. And then when he gets good in the heat of the battle, you back up so that Uriah gets hit and nobody else gets hit. Now, Uriah doesn't know a thing. Uriah's like, I'm going to work. Bye. And we're like, Uriah, don't go. Don't go, Uriah. And we're praying to God, please, God. Please, God, don't let him get killed. Please, God, wake him up, wake him up. God, provide Uriah a miracle. But saints, Uriah goes on to work. He goes off to that war, and the rest of the soldiers back up. And, of course, Uriah is killed. And we must think, well, what happened with Uriah? Why didn't he get a miracle? He was pretty good. Don't you all say he's good? Don't you also say that you're good? I'm pretty good. I work hard. Uriah worked hard, right? You work hard? Okay. Uriah's loyal to his wife. Wasn't he pretty loyal? Are you loyal? All right. So it seems like Uriah should have got the miracle and the blessing, and David and Bathsheba should have been killed. Amen? But it didn't happen that way. Uriah was killed. And so we're sitting here wondering, well, what happened? Aren't we all taught these prayers from the beginning of time? We're taught, you know, this is what we're supposed to ask, and it will be given to us. Saints, look at your outline with me. You see those scriptures under topic number 5, aren't we taught? I want you to read those with me. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. Ask and it will be given you. Nothing will be impossible to you. Believe that you will receive and it will be yours. Oh, that's it. That's it. Sorry, I should have said to stop at E. But saints, we know these scriptures, amen. Many of us pray them. We trust that if we ask, it will be given to us. That if we do the right thing, you know, the right thing should be returned to us. So it confuses us when we're doing all this praying and all this asking and nothing is happening. There's this saying that many people say all the time, and I stop saying it because I don't like to hear it myself. People said it to me too many times. It says, God always answers prayers, but sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes God answers and no. Saints, that frustrates me. I don't like to hear that. Because I think, okay, it is true. I'm not going to say it's not true. God does say no. But that doesn't mean I like to hear it. And saints, I also think, and I know you think, well, what's so special about you? You got your prayers answered. And what's so special about you? You got your prayers answered. Why shouldn't I get my prayers answered? Don't we all think like that? Well, saints, I believe today the problem is that we have been confusing the meaning of miracles. Saints, we use some terms interchangeably, and we mix and match them, and we think they all mean the same. So we equate and make prayer mean miracles. And we think that God is always going to answer our prayer by providing a miracle. But it doesn't happen that way, saints. God can answer a prayer through a miracle, but prayer and miracle are two different things. See, saints, we've had a misunderstanding about miracles, and I wanted to clarify some things about miracles. What are miracles? Miracles means, the definition of miracles from the Bible is signs and wonders. So miracles mean signs, just like we go outside and we see the one-way sign. All these streets got one-way signs. Right? We see a sign. We go to the corner of Helena. We see a sign. Right? So a sign is something that is pointed at us, that is giving us direction. A sign also means it authenticates something. That means it is real. It is right here. When I go stand right there on the corner of 105 and Helena, and I look up and I see Helena, that is what? Helena. Right? Where am I at? Helena. I'm not on Elgin or Kimberly. I'm on Helena. So signs authenticate. It makes it real. And it points to. A sign points to. The one-way sign is go that way. So if you think about miracles in relation to the meaning of signs and wonders, miracles mean a sign that is pointing to a divine teacher who is speaking for God. So let me slow that down. Miracles point to the person, the teacher that is divine, that is also speaking for God. That is what a miracle means, pointing to the person that is speaking for God. Saints, now I want you to read that scripture with me, John 16. It's under point C. When the people, you all see it, saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." So you see, saints, every time a miracle happens, there are people standing there saying, pointing, saying, "Look at him. There's something different about him. He must be from God." Saints, when we think about miracles, when did most of the miracles happen? There are miracles, of course, all throughout the Bible. I don't want to confuse anybody. But if we think about the miracles themselves, the miracles happened with Moses. Remember the parting of the Red Sea? Remember that? They also happened with Elijah and Elijah. Remember when they prayed, which one? Elijah prayed for the fire to come down from heaven. Remember that? And then you have Jesus. Jesus with all his miracles. And then you have the disciples in Acts, right? So you have to look at what happens. What is God pointing us to when he allows miracles to take place? God is pointing us to God, right? So here we have Jesus. When Moses had all his miracles happening, what happened right after that? The Old Testament was written. So the word of God was preached, came through Moses and revealed or pointed through. And then we had Elijah and Elisha. When they came along, the next part of the Bible that was written was the prophets. I know we don't think about this, but we had the minor prophets, you know, Obadiah, Micah, all those things that we ignore. But with them came that portion of the Bible. Then we have Jesus, who revealed the gospel. Then we have the apostles, who revealed the rest of the New Testament, the Acts and the letters. So when God is giving us a miracle, he is pointing to or revealing his word. Since we get miracles confused all the time with prayers, we also get them confused with acts of providence. See, everything that is called a miracle is not really a miracle. We want to claim it to be a miracle. I can go outside now and I can trip and I can say, "Oh Lord, I almost hit my head on the ground, but thank God you rescued me. It was a miracle." But it wasn't a miracle, saints. Since we get things confused, you see, because we have miracles and then we have acts of providence. Now, what is that? Acts of providence. If you look at the word providence, what is the word in there? What is the root? Provide. So God is providing for his creation. That is what it is, the act of providing. So saints, let me give you some examples. How do you know the difference? Miracle, act of providence. Miracle, act of providence. Here you are. All of us have had this experience. You out of money. You don't have no way to pay that bill. All of a sudden you go to your mailbox and just in the nick of time you got what? A check in the mail. Just on time to pay your light bill to keep your light bill from going off. Right? Now, miracle or act of providence. That was an act of providence, saints. You go into the room. You something say, "Oh my God, something's going on." You go in the room, the baby just about to stick something in the electric socket. And you think, "Oh, it's a miracle," but it's actually an act of providence. Then you think, "Oh, it was a nudge on my shoulder and something caused me to drive down St. Clair instead of going straight on 105. And then you figure out later that it was a big old accident that way, and you think, miracle or act of providence? You see, saints, read the scripture with me from Genesis 22, verses 13 through 14. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. You see, saints, there are clear examples where God is providing an act of providence. And this is where we get the name of God, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. My provider, saints. So you see, saints, we get things all mixed up and confused. And that's why we struggle when we don't understand why God is not answering our prayers. Saints, we are asking for miracles in our prayers. I know I get in my prayers, "Please, Lord, get this person a miracle." But saints, I am not being specific in my prayer, and I'm not understanding the purpose of miracles. So let's talk about miracles. What's unique about miracles? Well, saints, miracles always happen in public, in the crowd. And if you really think about that, almost every single time you hear about the crowd, you hear about the crowd that's surrounding Jesus, or Jesus had to leave the crowd. Miracles do not happen in the privacy of our own homes. When the parting of the Red Sea happened, that was not in anybody's basement, amen? That was in the public for the whole world to see. And why was it in front of a crowd? So that you can have the witnesses to testify that that must be God. Now, saints, I said that miracles always happen in the crowd. There was just one exception in the Bible. That one exception was when Jesus was going to the home of Jairus, and Jairus' daughter was dying. And the crowd was behind them all. And Jesus said, "Come on in the house." Shut the door, left the crowd standing outside. He took Peter, James, and John into this little girl. And in front of just the three of them, he brought this girl back to life. Now, see, saints, what's significant about this and what's amazing about this is right after that miracle happened, the disciples were then given the power to heal and to have miracles themselves. You see, something was specific happening in that miracle. It just wasn't willy-nilly out of nowhere. Jesus had a unique design that this miracle was to equip the disciples with the power that they would need for the ministry. So miracles, except for that one time, happened in front of a crowd. Miracles are always immediate. When Jesus says, "Get up and walk," the saint got up and walked. Amen. When Jesus said, "Raise from the dead," they raised from the dead. Now again, Jesus likes to throw one in on us just to let us know that he is God and he can do whatever he wants to do. Just like I told you, there was always a crowd. There was one exception to this. In the story of the blind man, Jesus wiped something on his eyes. And then he said, "What can you see?" And the man blinked and said, I can, "It looks like a man in a tree." And then Jesus said, "No, what do you see again? Look more carefully." And Jesus put something else on his eye. And then the man had clarity of vision. Now you see, saints, people would think, well, Jesus didn't completely heal him the first time, but yes, he did. He was doing something, saints. You see, because we all think we see. We think we see. We think we understand. But Jesus was showing the example, you don't have your spiritual vision. And so it was like he was really doing this miracle by allowing him to see the true God. So Jesus' miracles are always immediate and complete, saints. It's this story about this pastor, and I'm not putting anybody's pastors down or saying anything is wrong with other people, but this man was in a wheelchair, and the pastor came along and said, "You know, you're going to be healed." And the man got out of the wheelchair, but the man had crutches and a cane, and he was standing. He said, "Thank God that I'm able to stand and walk." And it was a blessing for this man to be standing and walking, and it was a blessing that this church prayed for this man and got him to that point. But when Jesus says, "Get up and walk," you get up and walk. When Jesus says, "You can see," you don't need glasses later on. You can see. Amen. So his miracles are immediate and complete. When Jesus said, we're going to feed all 5,000 of these people, not one person went without food that day. Now, saints, that's not like if you came to my house and I'm going to fix a big pot of spaghetti and all you all show up, some of you all going to be left out. Somebody not going to get some spaghetti. I'm sorry. It's just a matter of fact, not enough in that pot. But when Jesus said, feed the people, all 5,000 ate and had plenty. Saints, miracles are unique. Another thing about miracles is that miracles happen for those that are believers and unbelievers. That is so unique, for believers and unbelievers at the same time. You see, when you think way back to Moses, the story of Moses, and here they are, the Israelites, they're running, trying to get across the Red Sea, the water's open. It wasn't just believers standing there. All the unbelievers, the Pharaoh and all his army was there. All these people was there to see. The believers and the unbelievers were there. Saints, when the blind man was sitting there and he wanted his sight, this blind man didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. He didn't know Jesus from the man in the moon. He did not know Jesus. But Jesus took the time to heal this unbeliever. And it says that the man said, whether Christ is a sinner or not, I don't know. He said, I don't know Jesus. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. When Jesus performs a miracle, the whole world will know about it. Amen. Everybody will know. It won't just be hidden in some dark place and only a few of us will know about it. Everybody will know about it. Saints, miracles cannot be manufactured. You can't force them. You cannot command them. This is why when you're sitting there praying, Lord, give me a miracle, give me a miracle, give me a miracle. It's like, who do you think you're talking to? And who are you trying to command to give you a miracle when you want it? Saints, it does not work like that. You cannot command a miracle, and you definitely cannot buy a miracle. There's another guy named Simeon the sorcerer in the Bible. And this man, he practiced sorcery in the city, and he amazed all the people of Samaria. And he boasted that he was someone great. Saints, let me just put into your head so greatly that there are people who can do dark stuff and crazy stuff, saints. And when the Bible says to stay away from that, saints. You don't need to go to nobody's psychic reader, okay? Let me tell you how phony it is. I'm going to be your psychic reader today. Everybody always think you need to go pay $20 to the psychic. Let me give you your fortune. Break your hand out. You see that line, that long line? That means you're going to have long life. You see that one that's crossed? That means like it's going to be some bad things happening that's going to cross your path. That little one up at the top, that's like how many kids you're going to have, and some of your kids going to get on your nerves because it's got a squirrel in it. See? Now you can give me your $20. Saints, those evil things, when Jesus says, don't go near them, don't go near them. Most of them are brought up and fake and made up just to get your money. Saints, another thing about miracles is miracles are not done to create a king, but they are done to bear testimony to the king. The king. You see, saints, now, Jesus could have came and said, oh, worship me, serve me. All of you all bring all your gold, all your silver, all your diamonds. Lay them at my feet and bow down and worship me. Every time I do a miracle, you can just wave all your arms, do all this stuff just for me. But Jesus didn't do that. Look at John 6:15. It says, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. He withdrew. He would perform the miracles. He would testify to the majesty, his majesty of being God, and then he would withdraw. Because he wasn't coming to try to get our money or coming to try to get us to do all these crazy, build him a lavish palace and do all these things that to worship him. Jesus didn't want to be king over material. He wanted to be king of our lives. And he wanted to give that of choice to us so that we could see the miracles happening and we could believe that he was the living God or is the living God. So saints, I know you're still thinking there, but what about my miracles, Pastor Kelly? We still haven't kind of got to my miracles. You told us what all these miracles are, but what about my miracles, saints? How do you know that miracles are still happening today? Are miracles still happening today, saints? Yes, they are. Do you know what a modern day miracle looks like? No? Do you want to know what a modern day miracle looks like? What does a miracle look like today? Well, saints, I wish I could tell you what a modern day miracle looks like, but you got to come back Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week for Vacation Bible School to find out. I can tell you, but I'm not going to tell you today. You have to come back during Vacation Bible School to find out all about your miracle. Saints, but I'm going to encourage you today that if you are believing in God for a miracle right now, God is waiting to provide that miracle. First thing you got to do is examine your purpose. What are you really praying for? If you're praying, Lord, give me that miracle, give me that miracle, you are not praying correctly. Scriptures tells us to pray specifically for what we want. Pray, Lord Jesus, I am trying, please, Lord, please heal my cancer. Please for my financial blessing. It is a difference. Did you see the difference? Please give me a miracle. Please provide healing. Are you asking for God to provide provision? Are you asking for a miracle, saints? Another thing I'm going to encourage you to do until you come back on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is understand what is God doing to see the bigger picture here. When God is providing these miracles, he's telling us of what God wants. For saints, God is showing us something specific to his miracles. And saints, if we remember way back when we did the 40 days of purpose, it's not all about us, it's about God, saints. So I encourage you one more time to come on out to Vacation Bible School Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this coming week so that we can truly study and learn about your miracle